Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and normally you're here, and I'm Kendra, but she is not with us today. She had something else going on today, so it's just me doing the intro for the show, but we are glad that you are listening in today. I do want to remind you that you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, and at afr.net is where all the podcasts are posted. You can also email us at hannahsheart@afa.net we get lots of emails for prayer requests and show suggestions and questions, and so I love looking at those, and I try to get back to people within the week after you leave those messages, and I try to answer the questions that we have. Sometimes y'all ask some questions that I got to seek some counsel for, so it takes me a little bit to get back to you sometimes, but I do really appreciate you taking the time to send those prayer requests in and those suggestions in. So keep them coming. Today, I have a sweet calling guest. I have never met her, but I have just followed her story kind of as it has unfolded on Instagram and watched her little family grow very, very quickly. So we are definitely going to be talking more about foster care today and how that has impacted my guest life. So her name is Maddie. Maddie, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a little while trying to get you on here, so I'm excited that today worked.
Me too.
I think, last time that the kiddos had the stomach bug, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way I can talk uninterrupted without.
No, I don't think so. The stomach bug is a whole nother thing when you have littles. That's like on a different level.
Yeah, you should get a trophy after you get through it.
I agree. I hope you did get some rest afterwards, because that's definitely what you need after that. But then when you have three littles, I don't know if there's any rest to come there either. So will you do what?
So it's few and far between.
Yes. But will you give us just a little brief intro of maybe you and your hubby, where you're calling from, what you do daily, those type of things?
Absolutely. Yeah. So me and my husband live in Littleton, Colorado, and we've been here about 5 years. We became foster parents about 2 years ago in 2021. And we became foster parents to our first foster son, who is now almost two. And then we welcomed our first bio son into the world on July 4th, 2022. So he's 7 months old now. And then we also have placement of our oldest foster son, his baby sister, who is also 7 months old. And so we kind of have unofficial twins under our roof right now.
That is so crazy. And for y'all to be fostering, I mean, really, that's not very long to be fostering, for all of that to change so quickly, for your life to look so different than what it did when you first entered the foster care world.
Yep, we turned into a family of five in about a year and a half time.
Oh,
so that's a just to.
Yes, that's a lot. What drew you and your husband to fostering?
Yeah, so I always kind of had a tug on my heart to do foster care. I didn't know when or how or what it would look like, but whenever me and my husband started talking about marriage, I just told him that I felt, called to do this at some point in my life, and just kind of wanted to make sure he was on board with it all before, getting down on one knee. And he just, said that he was willing to partner with me in that and just see where the Lord was going to lead our family. And we just kind of wanted to be open-handed about how the Lord was going to build our family. And we just said, however he sees fit, we're going to let him kind of take the reins. And so, you know, early on in marriage, we just prayed a lot about the timing, and just prayed a lot for clarity on, you know, when we should start the process and do all of that. And honestly, COVID is kind of what made us jump into it sooner than we probably would have expected, just because we found ourselves with a lot more time on our hands, time to go through the training and all of those things. So that kind of is what jump started us into doing it, you know, earlier on in our marriage.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And how long were y'all licensed before you got the call about Big Brother?
We were licensed for about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
We had several other calls prior, but they ended up, you know, going to live with family or being placed with siblings and that kind of thing. But he was the first call that needed a home. So we were originally just given a 2 hours notice. They're like, hey, can we bring a newborn baby to your house in 2 hours? And but then they said that he needed one more day in the hospital, so we'd go get him the next day. So okay, we got 24 hours.
Notice. 24 hours to get ready for a newborn. So y'all picked him up from the hospital when he was a newborn.
Yep. He was 4 days old.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness. And is that when you started sharing? I know you can't share much and you can never share his face on social media, but is that when you got started there?
Yeah, I think so. I think I started sharing a lot of our foster care journey, like even with the certification process, because I realized a lot of people had questions about it, not knowing how long it takes, what's expected of you. And so I just wanted to kind of encourage others that, you know, this is possible and kind of what's all surrounded in that. You know, everything from like the orientation class that you go to when you're interested in a specific agency and, you know, doing the 40-hour training to become a foster parent, you know, going through the home study process and all of those things.
Well, you have definitely been encouraging to me, and we've been foster parents, if I'm remembering right, I think it was 2018. Yeah. But when I found your page, somehow, I guess just me looking up like foster care stuff and found you, you were just so encouraging and like you shared hard stuff, but you also shared, you know, being involved with birth mom. And I don't know, it was just inspiring to watch kind of your day to day with, you know, your sweet little guy. And then we actually I guess he was our third placement. We got a placement July of 2020 from the hospital. And so it kind of felt like we were kind of walking along the same, getting to know newborn life together, even though I didn't know you at all. But anyway, that was neat for me to watch you handle things the way that you did. At first, maybe during, did you have hesitations before saying, yes, we'll take this placement?
Yeah, I think, you know, never having been parents before and then kind of all of a sudden becoming a parent, you know, overnight to a newborn, which we didn't really know. We were open to ages 0 to 5. So we were like, okay, we could have, you know, a toddler show up. We could have, you know, a kindergartner. We kind of were trying to mentally prepare for all of the different scenarios. So that was a big hesitation, is just like, how do you mentally prepare for every possible scenario?
Right.
But at the day, just realizing that, like, all right, I'm saying yes, and I trust the Lord with this yes, that he's going to equip me and equip our family at each step of the way. Like, I don't think you ever fully feel ready to be a parent, no matter how it comes about.
Right.
So just trusting the Lord at each next step is kind of how we tried to view it. And then, of course, there's, you know, even more fears when you're handed a baby and questions about their future. How is this going to play out? What about their mom? What about all of the million questions that flood your mind? But just continually giving that child to the Lord every single day.
Right, right. Which I think as any parent, you know, should, foster parent or not. I know for me, dealing with birth parent stuff and birth family things, but also as our family, those were hard dynamics to process sometimes and to get through. And then you're definitely supposed to be pro reunification. And so making myself be pro reunification on some days was definitely harder than other days. Did you find yourself struggling with those emotions sometimes?
Definitely. Yeah. It's always like the both and feelings of like, yeah, I love this child like my own. I'm so attached to them. It makes sense that they should be with me forever. But then They have this whole other family that, you know, birthed them. They have this history and this story. And I think I kind of settled on focusing on, like, best interest of the child. And that can be different for every child in every season and situation. And so, and I think, like, best interest of the child is that no matter what happens, that I am going to have a good relationship with his mother and his birth family. Because if he does go home, then that's a good thing for me to have that bond and that relationship with his birth family.
Right.
And if for some reason he needs to stay here, then it's in his best interest that I have that relationship as well as he grows up and maybe has questions and stuff. So I just kind of tried to reframe it, like, when he's 8, 10, 15 years old, what version of the story do I want to tell him?
That's
and
so
that
true.
What involved me, like, championing his mom no matter what was happening.
Yeah, that's so good, so good. So you would encourage other foster, if foster families are listening right now, you would encourage them to try to, would you say pursue that relationship? What would you encourage them to do?
Yeah, I would say just, like, being consistent and non-judgmental, like, when you're talking about them, when you're treating, you know, talking to them, being non-judgmental in your language really has the biggest difference. I mean, all of us have thoughts about a million different people, but when you can show up and just be loving and consider their story, you know, they've gone through a million things that brought them to this really hard place right now. Usually you're getting involved with families on, like, their hardest days.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can be one extra person in their life that's loving on them, praying for them, that really can make all the difference. And, you know, I've thought about that even when I'm, you know, talking about his family when they're not around. I want the version to be that, like, they are strong, they are fighters, they are going through hard things, but they're withstanding them versus maybe any other negative thoughts that you might have.
Yeah, that's so good. So how old was Big Brother when you found out your news about your biological son?
I think he was, 6 or 7 months old.
Oh my word. did that come out of nowhere?
We sort of just kind of left it up to the Lord.
Yeah.
We just kind of like, like I said, we were letting the Lord build our family as he sees fit. I think once we had become foster parents, we sort of were like, well, our family has started, so let's just kind of see what happens after that. We were nervous about having two under two.
Yeah, it sounds kind of crazy.
But also excited. Like, I always kind of wanted, you know, a bigger family and, like, chaos. I thrive in chaos.
That's good.
And then about 4 weeks after we found out that I was pregnant, we found out that our big boy's mom was pregnant again as well.
Okay.
And that their due dates were 2 days apart.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that part of the story. So you at least knew basically your whole pregnancy that you might be gearing up for two babies.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because pretty quickly after, just based on the situation, the state had asked us, like, if XYZ happens, would you be willing to be a placement to keep siblings together and that kind of thing? Which,
wow.
If I'm being honest, my husband actually had a dream that this happened before I was ever pregnant. He doesn't ever remember his dream. And he was like, honey, I had a dream that you and Big Boy's mom were pregnant at the same time. And I was like, haha, that would never happen. So.
Oh my goodness. I really do picture God kind of laughing at us sometimes, like, oh, you haven't seen anything just yet. Oh my goodness.
So thankfully we did know kind of all along, so we sort of could mentally prepare. We, like, moved to a bigger house, like, just in case, so that we, like, had room and were kind of ready. And then whenever my friends threw me, like, a shower, you know, for my bio son, people kind of knew I might have two, so they gave us, like, double diapers
stuff. Well, that is super special. Very, very special. So how does Big Boy feel about babies, baby boy and baby girl?
I mean, definitely at first, I think he was trying to get used to, you know, sharing attention and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he, he was so young that I think it's like now he doesn't know a time without them around.
Right.
He actually is pretty gentle with them. You know, if they cry, he's like, uh-oh, uh-oh, and trying to put their passies back in. And the bond between him and his bio sister is very sweet.
Oh.
Like, she laughs at him more than any of us. Like, he can be doing anything and she'll just crack up. And so I'm really excited that they, you know, that have that bond and that relationship, because I think it's like, that's irreplaceable that they have one another.
Right.
With like the same story and the same, you know, DNA and all those things to be able to lean on one another as they get older.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And so baby sis, she continues to do visits with Bio Mom?
Yes, she does. So she sees her mom a couple times a week.
Okay.
And, you know, thankfully we did all this with the big brother the first time around. So I have a really good relationship with his mom just after, you know, I've known her for 2 years now. She's seen like kind of how we handle babies, what kind of parents we are.
Right.
And so I think that she kind of had peace of mind and was at ease about us having, you know, her other child as well, just because she kind of, you know, trusted us. We had built rapport, which took time and took a lot of, you know, work and patience, but, thankfully, we kind of are to a place of trust and just like mutual respect for one another.
Wow. Well, that's so good. It's so, so needed. I feel like it's definitely, maybe people from the outside look at visits as a negative part of foster care. And I feel like you can almost feel that way as you're living through it sometimes, because it's definitely a job. I mean, I would view it as that sometimes, because you've got appointments to make and sometimes it's awkward appointments and, you know, definitely not picture perfect sometimes, but it is crazy what a blessing that visits can be if you put yourself out there, you know, like basically kind of what you're saying. I'm not saying any foster parent has to share their entire life story with the biological family or anything like that, but to be opened to a friendship that could lead to a family relationship just about can definitely have a blessing on you. And I would encourage, any foster family to at least pray about what that could look like for you to have a relationship with a biological family. I know sometimes that's out of the question depending on the circumstances, but when it's not, I would encourage anybody to pursue just like what you're doing. What are ways as Christians, what are ways Christians can be involved in foster care?
Yeah. So, I feel like I can break it down into like two different categories of like, you're either like actively involved in foster care, like boots on the ground, you're doing the thing, or you play more of like a supportive role and you're supporting the people doing the things.
Yeah.
Like actively you can, you know, foster. You can do respite care for families that need, you know, short-term placements while they're traveling or maybe can't have the child for a specific period of time. And then you could also be a CASA or a court-appointed special advocate, which before being a stay-at-home mom, that was my role, was working for CASA.
Oh, okay.
And So that's a volunteer role where you're paired with a youth in foster care, 0 through 18, and you're going with them through the foster care process, and you're a mentor and an advocate for them in the court setting. So I did that also before I was a foster parent, and I loved that relationship that I built with the youth I worked with. But a lot of people don't know about that opportunity.
No, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of get your feet wet and like learn the system, learn the ins and outs, like what is a guardian ad litem? What do the caseworkers do? What's the judge ruling on before actually having a child in your home? Because then once we had, you know, kiddos in our home, we kind of understood the ropes of court. So we weren't as stressed about that. We were just more focused on being parents. To get back to your question of, then there's the support role of you're supporting people doing that work. So whether it's you're supporting a foster family through meals or diapers or babysitting, and honestly, prayer. Like, I think people, you know, can sometimes chalk that up to like, oh, everyone's always praying all the time. But genuinely, like, finding a family, or whether it's birth family or bio family or foster family, that you're praying specifically for that child, that circumstance, that court date, can go a long way. Mm-hmm. I know on big court days when I have people text me like, we're praying for this, praying for that, it just makes me feel like there's, you know, an army of people caring for this child. It's not just, you know, me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think prayer can go a whole lot. It means a whole lot more than what I think people even give it credit for, because I know sometimes it's easy to just be like, oh, I'm praying for you. But no, if you really, really are, you know, you're going to God on my behalf. You know, that's a big, big deal. So, yeah, for sure, I would agree with all of that. I think that it was a neat idea for you to say, you know, to cook meals, to offer to babysit, different things like that. I think people, at least a lot of people I've talked to, they seem to think that they can't help with foster kids, as in babysitting, because they're not approved or because, you know, nothing legal has happened. But so I don't know if anyone was thinking that, but I did definitely have people say, oh, I never did know I could keep him because my house was never approved. And I'm like, oh, that's not the case. You can definitely babysit sometime. But yeah, it's when people have gone out of their way to say like, hey, you and Will go on a date night tonight, bring the kids over, or y'all just go on a coffee date after you go to court. We'll keep them longer and you go have coffee or go on a walk after you go to court. It meant a whole lot to me, because then court is such a mental exhausting thing, you know, spiritually, all the things. We would just be exhausted by the end of it. And sometimes, I don't know how y'all's court system works there, but here you can be told to be at court at 8 o'clock and you might not walk into the courtroom until 11:50. And so you don't know how long you're going to actually be there. So I know that meant a lot to us, for people to let us then maybe even just go talk and, you know, figure out things to process after each court date.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say to the people who say, I would get too attached to be a foster parent?
I would say that you'd be perfect. Because that truly is the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that can cause pain, and it is very sacrificial to be in that role, but that is what the kids need. Whether it's for a very short season or for a lifetime, like, they deserve people to get attached to them. They deserve people in their corner, obsessed with them, championing them. Like, they deserve that. And so if you are worried that's what will happen, like, that's what should happen, because that's what they deserve.
Oh, you're so right. And it is so hard. I've had so many people say that. I've had family members just say, I just couldn't do it. I'll just get too attached. I remember thinking one time, like, do you not think that I get too attached? Like, am I a different kind of person because I don't get too attached? Is that what you're thinking? But yeah, I think you're so right. If you have that problem or that excuse, it's a wonderful reason to foster if you say that you couldn't do it because you would just get too attached, because you're right in saying those children deserve someone to get attached to them. I feel like this is not like patting any foster parent on the back or myself at all on the back, but when I think of Jesus and I think about foster care, it's kind of like, how much more like Jesus can you get? You're about to go into this process, open your home, your heart, your family to someone else's child, and you're just about for sure going to get hurt in the end, or hurt along the way, you know, spiritually, mentally. I fully believe that the enemy attacks whenever you open your house to someone else's child, because you're doing what Jesus has called us to do. It says it right in scripture, to take care of the orphans and the widows. And so you are following the Lord's command by doing this, and you know that you can get hurt in the end, or you know you won't receive that same love that you've given in the end from that child, or when that child goes home and they don't want to come back, you know? So many different fears can be wrapped up in opening your home. One more thing, any advice or scriptures that you would like to share to people that could possibly be considering to foster?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, the Lord speaks to me a lot just through like seeing birds in the sky. And I think that scripture talks a lot about birds, and specifically in Matthew 6:25, talking about the sparrows. Mm-hmm. The birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having that read over you and thinking about, you know, the birds of the air, of the Lord's caring for them, he's caring that much more for you and your family and your children. And I think that verse is what gives me a lot of peace through the ups and downs and roller coaster of foster care and the unknowns of really every part of building a family and being a parent is trusting the Lord with your family, and just trusting that you are of so much value, and to just kind of cast all your anxieties upon Him as well. So that's kind of my life verse that I pray over my kids a lot when I'm really worried and anxious. So hopefully that can be encouraging to somebody else out there who's not sure what their journey will look like.
Right, right. Well, I know that's encouraging to me. Maddie, I'm going to pray for you just real quick. Father, I come to you right now to just thank you so much for Maddie and her family. No matter what this ends up looking like for her, her foster care journey, I pray that you just bless them immensely, God. Anyone who's listening to this that is possibly considering to become a foster parent, God, I pray that you just help them open that door and to know that you know what's best, God. Thank you so much for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we will see you back again next week.